You're listening to GeekWire from Seattle, Washington on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM and GeekWire.com.
All right, it's time to get geared up. From GeekWire.com in Seattle, I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm Andrew Edwards.
Coming up this week, Samsung finally explains what really happened to the Samsung Galaxy Note 7. For real this time.
For real, Andrew. Right. I mean, I think we all knew.
Exactly. A new feature from Apple makes sure you won't lose those AirPods, which is a big concern of John Cook, as we know.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true.
So finally, right. We can set his mind at ease.
Uh-huh.
And Jay-Z's Tidal Music streaming service gets a surprising new investor.
Yes.
Surprised the heck out of me.
Right. And confused.
Yeah, and confused. All right. So we'll explain all of that later on. Plus, we'll do a deep dive into all of the streaming music services that are available out there now and talk about some of our favorites.
Yes.
Perfect.
All right. Kick it off. Where are we going first?
So, Samsung, let's start with this whole situation.
Oh, man.
Your favorite device of 2016, your favorite smartphone, the Samsung Galaxy Note 7. It had a tendency to burn.
Explode.
And
I mean, first of all, just look at it. Isn't that a beautiful device, though?
It's a good looking device.
Have you held one in your hand? Have you seen one in person?
Yes.
It's a great device. It was glass on front, glass on back. It was curved glass on both sides. You had this cool, like, this is the blue coral with, like, the gold. It just looked great. I'm not a big fan of styluses, though, but this was the most technology-packed phone I think ever made.
As I think you've said, if you could have iOS on this device, you would never want another phone again.
Well, I'd want another one eventually because I like new stuff. But for this year, that would have been perfect. I mean, the size was great. And again, the display, everything about this phone was fantastic, except
the battery.
It would explode. Right, the battery.
So
it exploded.
So this is the very complicated, overly technical explanation from Samsung about why these two batteries, the first original one and then the ones that they installed in the replacement devices, had a tendency to combust.
Right, and to back up for a moment, so basically we found, or people were finding, these would spontaneously combust, and it was determined that it was likely the battery. So like, okay, we're going to recall all the ones that are out there, and we're going to replace them because we fixed the problem, we found the issue, and if you get the new phone, no more explosions. And what was found very quickly was that the new phone exploded just as much, if not more, than the previous one. So, I mean, that's horrible. What's crazy, though, is how do you go from having a serious issue in the first place and then saying you found and addressed the problem and then still having the problem?
Right.
Now here in the report, they expressed that it was actually two totally different problems. But what took them so long to even divulge this first one? Because it sounds like they misdiagnosed it originally. I don't know. What do you think?
I think so. Well, and what happened was Samsung came out with a report this week. There were two separate flaws, one in the first battery, one in the second battery, the replacement battery. But this, to me, was the key quote. The Wall Street Journal pressed the Samsung chief, and he said, in hindsight, he embraces and takes responsibility for the malfunction in part because the design of the phone was, quote, quite aggressive.
Quite aggressive.
Which says to me that basically they were demanding too much from these battery makers in terms of squishing all of these components into the appropriate space.
Right. And this is actually something that, it makes a lot of sense. And most people don't realize this. Like, they get very upset when changes get made to the phone, when the changes are made specifically for space reasons. So, for example, a few years ago, when Apple got rid of the 30-pin connector in favor of Lightning, everybody was upset. Now I got to buy all new cables. I've had these cables since I've owned my iPod, and now you're changing it. And Apple was saying, we couldn't have made the iPhone 5 without removing that large 30-pin.
Right.
We couldn't have made this device. Then, recently, they removed the headphone jack. Huge controversy, right? They also made the SIM card smaller two times during the course of original iPhone to today. And it's all because there's a fight to have as much space as possible inside of the device. So when people get upset about, you know, these changes are being made and are taking features away, and when the manufacturers say, well, it's because we need the space to do other things, that really is true. And you can see here with the Note 7 that lack of space was actually a safety issue.
Right. Absolutely. So here's the question. So now that they've come out with the explanation, they've basically said, okay, and it was in part Samsung's fault, they admit.
In part versus
Well, part of the issue is it's their fault
at all.
It's their fault. Well, there is a case to be made that it was the battery suppliers who were to blame. But Samsung is acknowledging that it was largely because the design constraints of the phone were too much.
Sure.
And so it's kind of both ways, but they are taking responsibility. So here's my question. When the Samsung Galaxy 8 comes out, mm-hmm. knowing that they're pushing the envelope on design, I'm sure they will you feel comfortable buying it?
Me, yes. I mean, the thing is, even with the Note 7, it was very, very rare that those explosions were happening, although they were happening. But I think, I mean, once you go through this, at the bottom line is, at the end of the day, if this happens again, they're done, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If this happens again, if they have another one of these situations with another smartphone, flagship phone or not flagship phone for that matter, they're done. So they say they've addressed the cause. You can see battery A, battery B. If you're listening on a podcast, we have a display up here showing both issues. They not only have they addressed these issues, but in my opinion, they now know what to look for to avoid it in the future, or should, and they should be able to not have that happen again.
They've set in place, I know, internal processes, like extensive review of these types of things, mm-hmm. and almost like a review board to look at these issues and make sure that it doesn't happen again. So here's what GeekWire readers said when we asked that same question, will you buy a Samsung phone again? 55% said yes, they're comfortable owning a Samsung phone.
Okay.
33% said, no, I'm staying away from Samsung phones.
Okay.
And about 12.5% were undecided. Now, admittedly unscientific, but even if that 33% is 10%, that is a giant chunk of Samsung's market share.
True. What I want to know from those people is, were you someone who was previously buying Samsung phones? Because if you're an iPhone user for the past, 10 years, you're like, yeah, I'm staying away. So, that
was the premise of the question. Okay. Now, who knows whether people actually stayed true to that? I'm sure we had some iPhone fanboys, but so you got a very large margin for error there.
Yeah, yeah. And I can't blame you for staying away, because first of all, I mean, the thing with Android, and again, this is just my opinion, but the average consumer sees it as iPhone and Samsung. Those are your two choices when it comes to smartphones. But in reality, and I think people are starting to see this over the past year, is Android, there are so many great devices at such great prices, where Samsung is the premium device, but you can get an Android phone from, Huawei, which is out of China, for $250.
Right.
That is almost feature parity with, a Galaxy. Maybe it doesn't have as many megapixels or not as high res a screen, but for all intents and purposes, you can get a fantastic phone. And then there's the other, flagship phone makers like LG, for example. Google now has their own first-party device. So, that's the other thing, where it's become easier to avoid Samsung. Like, if this was Apple, and Apple had this issue with a flagship phone, you can't get iOS anywhere else. So you have to make, a hard change to not only your hardware maker, but your software as well.
Yeah.
Whereas with Android, you just leave Samsung and pick up another one. It's the same software. So you keep all your apps, keep all your settings, and you just change the hardware.
Yeah.
So, but like you said, they're taking a harder stance on reviewing these things now. And they actually just announced that they are not launching the Galaxy S8 at Mobile World Congress, which the last three Mobile World Congresses is where they launched the S5, S6, S7. So the S8 is, I don't know if you call it a delay because they didn't announce it yet, but it's going to take longer for that one to be introduced to the world, probably because of this.
Yeah, okay. Well, fascinating. It'll be interesting to see what the smartphone market share is a year from now, whether Samsung slips a lot. I think they've got to slip some here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's move on to our next one. This is an interesting one. So this just came out just recently, just now. This is the answer to John Cook's biggest question, my colleague John Cook, about the AirPods, and you've got a pair of them there.
It's a pair of AirPods. It's very small,
The first question that many people ask about these devices, these wireless earpods, basically, is
how this question.
Okay, so the question is, how do you keep track of them? How do you not lose them?
Right.
And so your answer normally is,
I'm an adult. I mean, that's how I don't lose my stuff. I know how to take care of my stuff. It's not that hard.
I mean, look at these things, Andrew. Though, come on, they're tiny. They're tiny.
I know, but okay. So here's the thing.
Look at this.
Right?
I lose my regular Apple earpods, and they're tied together.
Right. But okay, this is just again. I think people have an easier time losing things that aren't as expensive. So the more expensive something is, the less likely you are to lose that thing. When people were buying those Bluetooth headsets, you know, 5 years ago or whatever, the ones that you just put in your ear to talk on the phone, those were just as small, if not smaller, and no one was making the complaint, oh my God, who's going to buy these? Why are you going to lose them? But the second Apple put something out, they have to find the negative somewhere. Oh, they're going to lose them.
Isn't that just because people love Apple products and they don't want to lose them?
I'm not 4 years old, okay. So I know how to take care of my stuff.
So here's the thing. For this non-existent problem, at least in your view, and an actual problem in my view, Apple has come up with a solution.
Yes.
Apple has come up with a solution. And we're going to tell you about it right after this break. You're listening to Geared Up on GeekWire. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. It's Geared Up on GeekWire on Kyra Radio from GeekWire.com in Seattle. I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm Andrew Edwards.
And Monica Nicholsberg is joining us from the GeekWire News team to take part in the upcoming discussion about the music streaming services and the news this past week. But
this is our first guest on the show, by the way.
It is. It is.
Hope I don't mess it up. Thank you.
So, but just to continue our conversation from before the break, Andrew, right. Andrew says this is not a problem, and yet Apple has taken steps to solve it. Your AirPods, if they were to get lost,
yes.
A new feature in the Find My iPhone app is coming out that will allow you to locate your AirPods as well.
That's cool. I mean, I like that.
Now, do you think they always had that in the works, or is it a response to everybody saying these are ridiculous, you're going to lose them?
I think it was in the works.
Probably.
I think it was.
So this is coming out in the next version of OS X.
Yes.
iOS 10. I'm sorry. iOS 10.
iOS 10.3.
10.3. Mm-hmm. And so how's it going to work?
Well, that's what's confusing. So there's a W1 chip built into these, but I don't think that's how it's working. I think it's locating the case. If I had to guess, it's locating the case. But I only saw this news briefly before I left to come here. I think it'll also emit a high-pitched sound from each AirPod itself so that, you know, it may not... She's laughing. It may not locate on a map for you the actual earpiece, but it'll make it make a sound so that you can go and find where that sound is coming from.
Yes. So the Wall Street Journal, Joanna Stern, says that it's not perfect. She's tested it out, but it gives an approximate location. It's not an exact location of the AirPods in the same way that the Find My iPhone
is. Because the iPhone and all those other devices have Wi-Fi and GPS built in, whereas these obviously do not.
So here's what it does. It allows users to view the last general location their AirPods were connected to another device via Bluetooth and play a sound to help find them.
Okay.
So in that way, it's kind of similar to the Apple Maps feature, which can locate your car.
Yes.
Which is my favorite feature of Apple Maps.
This guy loves that.
That's all I can talk about. It's like...
Yep. I parked and there it is.
So at any rate, so that's coming out as part of iOS 10.3, not OS 10.
Right. OS 10 does have a new feature coming too, though.
Yes.
The next version will have Night Shift built in, which is a feature that automatically reduces the amount of blue light coming out of your display as nighttime falls. So, but you said during the break that you hate this.
I hate this on my iPhone. Monica, do you use this on your iPhone?
Night shift.
It like makes the screen yellow as the day gets darker.
No, but I would totally use it. I turn the brightness down later in the evening because I know that it kind of messes with your sleep.
Yeah. Mm. So in response to that, same issue, you turn night shift on, but I don't. So you can manually enable and disable it. And if you do that, it's very jarring because it's very obviously blue and then very obviously yellow immediately. But you can set it to automatically through, you know, over the course of an hour or so, when sundown happens, it'll automatically shift from blue to yellow slowly. And then you don't notice it happening, but you don't get that blue light hitting your eyes and you don't have the sleep, you know, pattern issues and all that kind of stuff. And then when morning comes, it goes back to blue and you don't see that shift happen because you've been sleeping the whole time. So I highly recommend it because it does, I think, you know, it does a good thing for your mind and your brain and your eyes. And now they're bringing it to the Mac. So if you're working, you know, you're working late at night or whatever, when sundown hits, your Mac will start, you know, slowly reducing the amount of blue light coming out of it. And I think that's pretty cool.
Very cool.
So that's one of the features coming.
All right.
Yeah.
Good. Let's talk about Tidal, shall we?
All right, Tidal.
All right,
Tidal.
So moving on to the streaming music services.
Oh,
Monica,
man.
This is one reason we wanted to have you in here. The news this past week. So first off,
There's a couple pieces of news. A couple pieces of news.
So the news is that Tidal got a surprising investment from the wireless carrier Sprint.
Yes.
33%. But let's take a step back. Mm-hmm. What the heck is Tidal?
All right. Tidal. Tidal is a, I think most people refer to it as a Jay-Z owned music service. I don't know how much he owns or how, you know, because they also said he owned the Brooklyn Nets. He wasn't really like yes. owning it. Maybe he's a majority investor, whatever. But Tidal is just another one of these music services out there, but they offer a premium tier that gives you lossless streaming music for $20 a month.
$20 a month, which is right. double the standard rate.
Double, yeah. So they do offer the regular $10 a month that everybody else offers, but they have the lossless $20 per month tier, supposedly gives you, you know, much better audio, especially if you're playing it through high, you know, hi-fi headphones or stereo systems. I don't necessarily know if it's that noticeable, if you're using crappy, you know, if you use whatever's included with your phone, you're not going to hear the difference.
Right.
So that's what Tidal is.
Probably won't hear the difference on the AirPods.
No, I don't think so. But Tidal has been at the center of the battle between these streaming music services because they are one of basically the two that have been fighting to get these exclusives.
Right.
So Jay-Z invited in a bunch of other artists to basically have equity stake in Tidal in exchange for launching, you know, new projects exclusively on Tidal. So Beyonce did that.
Kanye West
did that.
What was the name of the Kanye album?
I don't know if Kanye did it. I think Beyonce did it with Lemonade.
Kanye did it because he was like, my album's never coming to
it.
Apple. My album's
of Pablo
never coming to
first
Apple.
First on Tidal.
Yes. Okay. And he said, it's never coming to Apple. I hate Apple. And then 3 months later, it's on Apple.
Yeah.
I mean, no one's on Tidal.
But he's also bitched about it because he's frustrated that certain projects
that,
that he
Gear
does.
Up?
Yeah.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding.
He's whined about it because he's, you know, wanted to do collaborations with other artists. And some of them have exclusive deals with Apple Music, like Drake. And then some of them have exclusive with Tidal.
But isn't one of Tidal's value propositions to the industry that it pays artists higher royalties?
Yes.
That
or gives them a greater stake in the work that they're doing.
Yeah.
Right. But yet Apple pays more than Spotify does.
Okay.
So, you know, it's hard to, you know, I think both of them, Spotify is the one running away with, like, we have the most users so we can get away with a little more, but we don't pay as much.
Right.
So.
But Spotify is also not trying to really participate in this exclusive
yes.
game. It's said that it's against exclusives, that it hurts fans because they don't get access to as much of the music that they love.
Right. True.
So Sprint.
Before we go to Sprint, there was some other craziness with Tidal this past week. Was it Tidal? I think it was Tidal, where they were misreporting
yes, that was
their
Tidal.
Numbers.
Yes.
Like, I think they reported publicly, like, we have 3 million paid users now. But to the record industries where they have to submit the royalty payments, they were saying we only have 850,000.
Right.
Wow.
So which one is it, Tidal?
Right. And they parted ways with, I think, one or two of their executives over the reporting
Ooh.
Of their subscription numbers.
Ooh.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's an issue there.
So there's some weirdness going on. But then Sprint comes in.
Yes.
Tell me about this. What happened?
So Sprint is acquiring 33%. According to sources that spoke with Billboard, the deal is worth $200 million.
Okay.
So that would put Tidal's overall value at $600 million, which is quite a bit higher than what Jay-Z paid, which was $56
million. Oh,
so this was an existing service that existed in a different form beforehand. So essentially Sprint is coming in, but they're not saying exactly what they're going to do with it. They're just promising a one-of-a-kind music experience for fans.
Wow.
So the weird thing here is Sprint has basically fallen to number four. Behind T-Mobile in the U.S. wireless. Well, year and a half ago, T-Mobile used to be number four. I know it's hard to remember an era when John Ledger wasn't, you know, trouncing Marcelo Claure.
Okay.
But still, you know, T-Mobile used to be number four. So Sprint is not exactly in a powerful position. And then you've got it partnering up with this music service that is not
in a powerful.
Which
is another underdog, yes.
Yeah, which is usually not a formula for success.
What are they doing here? First of all,
I think Sprint's going to buy them outright eventually. That's what I think they're doing here. You've got T-Mobile, which has their deal. They had a deal with Rhapsody, which then became Napster to offer, you know, cut rate music streaming. I think they are going to offer some kind of deal on Tidal subscriptions to Sprint subscribers. I think that's going to be how they're going to do it, which is not novel because T-Mobile's already done that.
Yeah. Do you think it's going to move the needle?
No, I don't think any of this will. This is weird. Yes.
This is weird.
Do you have any other theories on why they could be doing this?
Man. Well, I mean, that really, no. It's like no one is going to switch carriers for a music service. No one's doing that.
Well, what if you were a giant Jay-Z fan You know, you loved Kanye and, and Beyonce.
Right.
And they had exclusives that you could only get if you were a Sprint subscriber.
But you could also get them if you were a Tidal subscriber, right?
Well, maybe.
Maybe. Oh, what if you got them first on? First on?
Gosh.
I don't know. This is me theorizing. You could do all sorts of interesting exclusive access things to promote.
Then you have to think about, though, if Sprint becomes the majority owner, will Jay-Z and his posse really still want to do these kind of exclusives?
True. Yeah. And I was reading back to the launch of Tidal, at least when Jay-Z took it over, and they had all these stars up there, you know, Beyonce and everybody else complaining that they didn't make enough money, essentially.
Right.
Because the whole value proposition for them is they get higher royalties.
So, right. And I think, well, that, you know, the whole thing there is, you know, these deals are really optimized for the, what do you call them? The music studios, or for lack of a better term.
Yeah, the so record labels.
The record labels get the majority of the streaming you know, payments, and the artists do not. So here with Tidal, the artists kind of cut that out a little bit, and they get the direct payment. So that's good for them. But I mean, all this is going to do is increase piracy. Yeah. That's what I see.
Well, that's what happened with The Life of Pablo.
Yes, exactly.
When he did it only on Tidal, it just got pirated everywhere else because nobody wanted to do it.
No one's going to switch to Sprint.
So let's go bigger picture here. Because this is part of a larger trend. You recognize we're not talking about 99-cent downloads or $9.99 albums here. And this is the chart from 2015 that we're looking at here up on the screen. And it shows that streaming services, which includes subscription services, were responsible for more revenue starting in 2015, according to the Record Industry Association of America, than digital downloads. So a la carte downloads have been surpassed by these streaming services, at least in terms of overall revenue. I cannot remember the last time that I paid 99 cents for a song.
Mm.
Can you?
No.
Yeah, exactly. No. I wonder how many people out there, I wonder what the last time. It feels like the model has just
completely
shifted.
If you're watching and you have bought music recently, drop us a comment in the feed because I want to know. And why? Why did you do that? Do you not subscribe? So you were talking about services that we use, right?
Yeah. So
you use
Pandora, free Pandora. Okay. I'm a total cheapskate. Free
Sounds
Pandora.
Like
and then on
we know this already.
Yes, we know this. Not as cheap as John. I actually have a car that was made in the last century.
Okay, fair enough. So, he's still riding on his horse to
work.
Yes,
exactly. So free Pandora and just put up with the ads. And then Amazon Prime Music.
Also
so,
free.
Free.
Free with your subscription.
Well, free.
It's free with your subscription.
Free after you pay $100 a year.
Right.
So,
okay, hold on. So that means to me, what that means is that you do not have the opportunity to just listen to any song you want
at
any time. You don't have that opportunity, right?
Well, that's true. I can't listen to any song that
right.
I want.
You can, like Pandora, you can listen to the station, you can skip.
Well, no, Amazon Prime Music, you can. Now,
the
whole catalog. That for that, you have to spend money on Amazon Music Unlimited, which costs $10 for non-Prime subscribers, $8 for Prime, or $7. What is it?
I think it's
$10, $8, and then $4 if you just want to use it on an Echo device.
You could use it with that. You love your Echo.
I do. I like Echo. Yeah. I don't have one at home, though. I have one here at the office.
Every cool thing that you have is here in the office. Your house.
I keep it separate, man. Church and state.
Okay. I got you.
What do you use, Monica?
I pretty much exclusively use Spotify Premium. I also sometimes will use SoundCloud if it's something that Spotify doesn't have. That's like a smaller artist who's just kind of self-publishing, but that's about it. I really need to be able to
Paid SoundCloud? Paid SoundCloud?
No, that one I just do free. My paid service is Spotify Premium. I'm on it with a few of my friends on a family plan, and it's totally worth it to
me. Family plan?
Whoa. Is that allowed?
We're a family.
Family.
We're an alternative family.
Okay, so how does that work, actually? Because in case people don't know, like all these services seem to have family plans. So they're all $9.99 a month base. And then they all offer a $15 a month tier for up to 6 people.
Yeah.
With the exception of Tidal, the way Tidal does it is you can add family members at 50% off. Mm. So you would pay your full rate and then your family member would be half off. So a family of 5 would actually be $25 a month because each one is paying $5 and you're paying your 10.
Right.
Versus, you know, Apple Music, Google Play Music, et cetera, it would just be $15 up to 6 people. So Tidal needs to catch up. So but how do they bill? Because I know with Apple Music, if you have a family up to 6, $14.99, but they all have to be logged in under the main person's iTunes account. So if I wanted to add you as a family member on my Apple Music plan and you wanted to spend $100 on your Pokemon Go coin purse that would actually be charged to my credit card.
It's not like that.
Okay.
It's basically just an upgrade to your individual Spotify account. So I didn't have to change the free Spotify account that I've been using forever. One of my friends signed up for the account and just added other people's accounts to be basically affiliated with it. And we paid a one-time fee for the year.
Yeah.
They're going to crack down on that. I bet you that won't. When they need to boost their revenue, they're going to start saying, are you really part of a family? You may need to subscribe.
Is it like I'm doing it right now, right? Because
no,
I'm
don't,
the one talking about it.
Let's see how many folks are watching
nice,
on the
though.
Facebook
that's
live
nice.
Stream.
But no, I mean, Netflix has never cracked down on it. And HBO Go has never cracked down on it. They've basically just said that's the consequence of our model.
Yeah. So you're big into Apple Music.
Well, I use Apple Music just because, you know, obviously I have an iPad, I have an iPhone, I have my Mac. I never really liked Spotify's interface that much. Yep. That's just me. And then they're very playlist-centric.
Right.
And I didn't really like their playlist that much. And the other thing is, like, I like being able to just use Siri when I especially have CarPlay in my car. Siri, play this, play that, whatever. That doesn't work with Spotify. It does work with Apple Music. So I just like being able to, like, have the one, you know, cohesive, you know, experience. It's the most convenient for me, I guess, is what it is. Because at the end of the day, I think they're really all pretty much the same. They all have very similar libraries. With the exception of the exclusives, even the exclusives are just timed exclusives. So I just like being able to, you know, talk out loud and ask for stuff and have it play.
Yeah.
And I'm not really friends with Alexa, so I'm not going the Amazon route.
Siri does a pretty good job of that?
Siri does a great job at that, yeah, finding music. And I find Apple's playlists to be better than Spotify's, maybe just for the music I like. I don't know. But they have music industry execs putting these things together and DJs putting these things together, where some of the other ones, especially Pandora, it's all like based on data and they just kind of build playlists based on data. So that's me. But again, it's not like I'm not evangelizing Apple Music. It's just more which one is most convenient for you.
Right.
It's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. So does Spotify have that kind of artificial intelligence built into it as well?
It has a lot built into it, but then I also think that there are curators of the playlists.
Yeah.
And one thing that I like about it, I don't know if Apple Music has this. It probably does because, like you said, they're all so similar. But you can build radio stations like Pandora based on anything, based on like a playlist that you've created or your Discover Weekly playlist. I just feel like you can do the same things as many different tools in one tool with Premium. You can download for offline listening, and it's worth it for me. I'm glad to pay for it.
Yes.
Kevin on the Facebook feed, who's been very helpful today, thank you, Kevin, points out Spotify, you compile your own playlist. The radio function is similar to Pandora. The radio function similar to Pandora is just an add-on, he says. Does that seem more native to you?
Well, I guess I'm not totally clear on what he's saying, but I just like that on Pandora, you have to select an artist, a genre, or a song, I think. And on Spotify, you can do it based off of the mood of a playlist that you've created, that kind of thing.
I should point out, previously in the thread, Kevin called you wise, Monica.
Oh, Kevin.
So. Kevin. Kevin, remember whose show this is.
Yeah, do you guys want me to come back on another one?
Now, a couple things that I don't think you can do on Spotify or Tidal that you can do on Apple and on Google Play Music is you can upload your own tracks.
Oh, okay.
So with Apple Music and with Google Play, I believe it's Apple lets you upload up to 100,000 and Google up to 50,000 of your own tracks. So you might have remixes or even just music you've created yourself, and you can play them through whether Apple Music or Google Play Music. You can stream your own stuff to it as well, which is cool.
I think Spotify does that too.
Do they like to upload?
I think so, yeah. Okay. You can have your library that's hosted on your computer as well as their
Oh, that's cool.
Stuff,
that's
yeah.
cool. Okay.
Because a lot of people have old CDs that they've ripped
right,
to MP3.
Right, exactly. And I was into like remixes back in the day. So in the mid-90s, there were so many remixes I would buy, like singles and even, what do you call it? I forget what they're called now. You would go to a street corner and there'd be like a guy selling CDs, mixtapes.
Yes.
So you get these street mixtapes and you could import the mixtapes, but these aren't published anywhere. And so the mixtapes would have like these special mixes.
Do you ever actually buy CDs off a guy on the street?
Back in the day.
And then, see, my concern was you buy the CD off the guy on the street, you stick it into your computer, and you're done. I mean, seriously.
You've been watching Mr. Robot, haven't you?
I'm serious. I mean, like, that's like virus all
no,
over
no,
the place,
no.
right?
It was mixtapes. I mean, you would see the, I mean, people might not even know what I'm talking about. This was like New York City, Harlem.
Yeah.
You would go and like, let me get the latest Funkmaster Flex mixtape. And it's like, okay, this is not anything you'd ever see in a record store, but it's really good because the DJ would mix the music, the popular music, to his own way. And so you can import that into your library, but the automatic recognition that, you know, when you import a song, it wouldn't work on those because these aren't ever been published anywhere other than on this exact CD. So you could put upload that to your Apple Music or your Google Play or maybe even Spotify and stream those wherever you are, which is really nice. It's something I liked.
What else?
Then Apple has Beats One.
That's right. The essentially the radio station, an actual radio station.
Actual 24/7.
Not a software radio station.
Right. 24/7 radio station with DJ hosted shows. Yeah. But I think that's actually free. So I don't think you need to pay to listen to that. So I mean, there's a bunch of options out there. Google Play Music gives you YouTube Red. Do you know what YouTube Red is?
Yes, the ad-free version of YouTube.
Right. So you basically, when you pay for Google Play Music, you get ad-free YouTube and you get YouTube exclusive content that only YouTube Red members can watch. So, and that's kind of weird because they're two, like, those are two totally different things. Like, it's a music service, but your YouTube experience is ad-free now.
Yeah.
And you get exclusive videos on YouTube for being a member of the music service. And now it sounds like Apple's going to do the same thing. They're going to be getting into first-party video content like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon are doing, but they're going to put those shows on Apple Music. Like that makes no sense.
It's kind of like when you used to click the iTunes icon, which I guess you still do to to go watch your videos. You know, they've always had a little bit of a hard time with the original choice of iTunes as the name for their primary media player.
Yes, yes, yes. So it's a bit, there's so many options out there.
Yeah.
Rhapsody is one.
And you know, you talked about YouTube. Honestly, in the end, for me, that's the ultimate backstop. If I can't find a song, you know, we've got our iPod Touch in the dock on the Bose speaker in the kitchen. I just go to YouTube and find you know.
Oh, and that's the other thing with YouTube Red, Google Play. If you're a member, then you can play music on YouTube and close the YouTube app and still have the music play.
Oh, really? It's got background.
Whereas if you're not a member, when you quit the app, the music stops.
Okay.
So there's little way. I mean, there's so many different music services out there. And again, to me, there's like they're all the same. And coincidentally enough, the one that sets itself apart the most, I think, is Tidal with the $20
Right. Well, that's not a great way to set yourself apart,
it's not,
though.
But I mean,
well,
if
and the
you
audio
are,
quality, right?
Yes, the audio quality. If you're an audiophile, and again, I don't know. Is it a placebo thing where it's really not happening? It is a higher bit rate, but I don't know that I've ever been able to actually hear it. And I've tried. Like, I have these $800 headphones. So it's like, okay, I have good headphones that are, like, ridiculous. I try to play it in the hi-fi experience and then the regular experience. And it's like, I'm trying to find it. It's not like, oh, I can hear it immediately. So I don't even know, like, who is hearing this.
Yeah, well, it seems like it's such a niche of customers that really care about that.
So Pono Music,
oh,
the Neil Young thing.
Oh, God, yeah.
Which is, it looks like they've been temporarily shut down
since
July.
Yeah, they're changing their business model. They're pivoting.
Yeah, so but that was the same idea. It was hi-fi. Mm-hmm. It was the idea of high-quality, lossless music. So
no one could hear it there either.
It seems like this is something that's very important to the artists, to Jay-Z, to Neil Young, and to no one else. At least among the masses. Yeah, obviously,
the
many
masses.
Audiophiles
Because most people, I don't even think most people buy headphones. I think most people use the headphones that come
earbuds
with their phone.
Yeah.
And those are horrible. I mean, really, they're not great.
You
but they're fine for MP3s.
Right. But you shouldn't be paying for a $20 a month music
service
with your Apple earbuds.
No, don't you dare do that.
Yeah. All right. That's all I got.
Okay. Wait, any closing thoughts on music services?
No, I think I want to just stick with, you know, the comments that led Kevin to call me wise. I don't want to ruin it.
Yeah, don't push it.
Has he said anything else? Has he addressed me yet?
I'm sure he has. I got to call it back up. good stuff. All right.
Well, let us know what services you guys listen to. If you're watching this on YouTube, there are comments below. Leave us a comment there. What is your favorite music service and why?
That's a good one.
Yeah, I'd be interested in reading
that. I
want
to know.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to respond on the radio or the podcast, just send an email to tips. Well, let's see. Where should we send it?
Send it to tips.
Yeah, send it to tips@geekwire.com.
Mm-hmm. And then if you're on YouTube, leave a comment below.
Leave a comment.
And maybe we will even feature your comment next week.
Yes, next week on Geared Up. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Monica, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, yes. Thanks for having
me,
guys.
Come back, please.
Yes, Andrew loves it when you come in because he doesn't have to talk to me the whole time.
Well, I'm glad to come back anytime.
All right. Until next time, I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm Andrew Edwards.
We'll talk to you next time on Geared Up on GeekWire.
You've been listening to GeekWire, an independent national technology news site based in Seattle, Washington. For news, events, podcasts, and more, visit us at geekwire.com.